Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Toy Photographers Podcast. We have a really exciting episode for you this week because not only am I joined by Christina Alexanderson, but we've got a special guest on the show, LJ Toy Photography. Luke, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
If you guys have been listening to these themed episodes, then you've noticed that Luke has continually added submissions each and every month, and we always have such a fun time talking about his images. But one of the weird things about this podcast is that we never really get his perspective. We loved his submission for the Magic podcast this month and immediately reached out to him and to see if he wanted to join and talk about his interpretation and what he thinks of our images. So this might be a little wonky at first as we try to figure out juggling three people on the call, but I'm really excited to have Luke on.
Me too.
Luke, before we get started on the images, I just wanted to ask you a couple questions because you're only 14 years old, which is amazing that you're in this toy photography hobby already. I wish I had started when I was 14. I'm twice your age now, and I feel like I really should have gotten a head start.
I've really enjoyed it. It's been a lot of fun.
How did you start doing toy photography, and why did you start doing it?
Like last year, around my birthday, I got an Instagram. And I saw a couple of toy photographers, and I thought, that looks like a lot of fun. I can do that. So I just kind of started off like with my dad's camera.
You are so technical. You have such a technical, gifted. Your images are amazing. How do you do that? Do you do photography in school, or are you really interested in photography to start with? Or how did it start all together?
My brother had done some photography, and I've always been interested in toys. So once I saw toy photography, I was like, hey, that's like, I enjoy toys and I enjoy photography. So why wouldn't I do toy photography?
It's a perfect combination.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you have a lot of toys?
Not really. I have a good bit, but it's not like a giant collection.
You'll get there.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to have a giant collection either. You only have to have two toys you like. You can do it with them.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. As we've seen, I feel like Christina and I kind of go back to the same toys again and again for some of our photos. Do you have like favorite toys that you like photographing specifically?
I really like the Lego Stormtrooper. I feel like he's really good to put like in any situation, so he's a lot of fun. I also recently got the Black Series Commander Wolf, and he's a lot of fun to mess around with. He's really detailed, so I like him a lot.
What about your peers or your friends in your own age? What do they say around your work?
They really like it. I usually am not satisfied, but they seem to like it, so I kind of just judge it off based off of their opinion.
Mm-hmm. If you look around in the toy photography community, who do you look upon? Who is your models, idols? Who do you want to become like? Is it Avanaut, or is it James, or is it Shelley? Or who is your favorite photographer in the community?
I really like Boulevard Bricks. I really like Constructed. And I also like DC Toy Photography. I feel like he's like kind of like what my goal, not my goal, but like my style is kind of like. So I really like it.
That's awesome. I think it's great to have idols in the community and people to look up to. I definitely still, even though I've been doing this like almost 5 years myself, I still like aspire to be like other photographers and feel like I'm still trying to find my own voice.
Who is your idols then, James? Tell us.
That's a good question. When I first started out, my number one favorite toy photographer was Mike Stimson, who used to write for Stuck in Plastic. He's become a lot less prolific now in the community and with his photography, but he was always like my number one person. And then honestly, like Shelley and Brett were always up there for me too, so it's really cool that I now get to be part of the community alongside them, which is amazing. People that I've had on the podcast, actually, like Father's Figures is one of my favorite photographers. Chris McVeigh is somebody that I want to have on the show, who I really look up to as far as Lego photography goes. You mentioned the Avanaut, Vesa. He's another one of those just guys that every time I see a photo, I'm like, God, I can't wait till I can take something like that. So what about you, Christina?
When I started with toy photography, my favorite photographer was a French photographer called, his name is Stéphane Deloube. But when I look at his images today, I see that I really don't, I have outgrown him. He is too childish for me. I would say my big idols isn't in the toy community at all. I look at Sally Mann or a Swedish photographer called Anna Klarén is one of my favorites. So I look more broadly than toy photography in per se. For me, photography is much bigger than only the toy photography community.
That makes sense. Luke, are you interested in just photography in general? Like, do you want to be a photographer? Is photography something you're interested in, or is it just toy photography?
It kind of started with toy photography, but after I got my own camera, I started bringing it around with me, and I was like, I enjoy taking pictures of other things aside from toys. So I started to branch out aside from toys.
It's a strange experience, I would say, because you realize that you look upon things in a different way when you have a camera and you start to use it and direct it to different things than toys. You start to look upon the world in a different way, I would say.
Yeah, all the time I'm thinking, everything I look at in the world, I'm thinking, oh, would this make a cool photo? Or if I look at it from this angle, or even if I'm at the store, I think like, oh, can I buy this thing and use it in my photography or something? Like,
yeah.
Photography is now like a constant force in my life. Well, cool. I'm glad that, you're in this hobby, Luke, and jumping into it, and that you've made a mark on the community already. And I'm excited to see how you grow as a photographer. And I'm excited to talk about your image here today.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are so excited to get your perspective on your image, because we usually only have the opportunity to talk about it, never hear your side of the version.
Yeah. Before we get started, let's just go over a couple guest submissions. Thank you everybody who submitted again this month for our themes. We love seeing your interpretations, and constantly I see things and think, oh, I wish I had done something like that, or I didn't think of it this way. And we constantly get some really great submissions. People submitted this month with the hashtag TP_magic. One of the first submissions we got was a really interesting one from on Instagram, from the Gray Cleric. I'm trying to find his name because he posted on G+ as well. Joshua Kittleson posted a really cool tribute to Dr. Seuss, a Dr. Seuss book I had never read, called The 500 Hats of Bartholomew Cubbins. Really, really cool image in black and white, and it's got this Lego figure with kind of a nervous face, and he's got like a red hat on his head, and he's holding two hats, and there's a hat on the ground. And I guess the Dr. Seuss story is that this guy Bartholomew comes upon a king and has to, take off his hat and bow to the king. And when he takes off his hat, there's still another one on his head. So he's got like 500 hats. I have never read the story, but
I'm sorry. Okay.
No, you're fine.
Now I understand the image, because I just looked at it and thought, okay, he has a lot of hats. Okay.
Yeah, at first I wondered, before I read the caption, I wondered if this guy was like juggling the hats or something, But once you know the story, I think the image does a great job of capturing it. And I just did a quick Google search, because like I said, I've never read this Dr. Seuss story. But I just did a quick Google search, and he captured the feeling of the story really well. The story is mostly in black and white, except for the hats are red, so that came through really well in this image. The nervous expression on the Lego figure, I think, really sells the character itself, at least from what I understand about the story. What do you guys think about this one?
I think it's an amazing image, but I would have loved to have the king in the image as well. More like Luke have done in his image. He has worked with a foreground with a, I'm sorry, we shouldn't talk about that, but I would have loved to have that context, because now the figure is put in a empty room, and I can't really understand where I am supposed to be. And when I hear the story, I understand, but I don't think, for me, a good image tells the story without me having to read up on it. in forehand. I can read up on it and see more in the image. I should have done this before, but I'm ought to be able to see more than a man juggling hats and seem to be worried if he's going to drop them, because that was my interpretation of the image to start with. So I'm lacking the king or the context where the room with a king, where you have to bow for the king with some guards or a throne or maybe some gold or something like that. I would have loved to put it in a setting.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The context is really important. And like I said, I had never read the story. I had to Google it to really get that context. Luke, did you see this one, and what did you think of it?
I really like it. I agree with Christina. It would have been nice to see the king and, like she said, maybe a throne or something. But I like how he kind of made it like the art style where everything's mm-hmm. in black and white except for the red hats. I thought that was pretty nice detail.
Yeah, it's really effective. So great job, Josh. Another one we got on Instagram, I love this one, is from Benny.Lego. And it's two images. It's a magician standing over, and he's holding a saw, and he's standing over one of the new collectible minifigures, the woman that's wearing the blue brick costume. And in the next image, the magician looks very freaked out, and the woman looks really freaked out, and she's in a bunch of pieces. And the caption is, that the magician had never tried this trick before, and it didn't quite turn out as expected. And I cracked up when I saw this one. I think it's really, really well done. A really great story. Even without the caption, all of the story comes through in both of the images. Luke, right off the bat, what did you think of this image?
I really liked it. I like how he used the brick and then the three smaller pieces to kind of convey that she was cut into pieces. And then, like you said, it does really tell a story without even the caption, so that was really enjoyable.
What about you, Christina?
I love it. I'm not sure. I really love it. I think it's amazing. I think the both images work so well, and it makes me think of this amazing children's book I used to read for my children, where there was a whole banana on the one side, and on the other one it was only the shell of the banana, and it's the same. You can see what happens in between, and it's fun, and it makes me laugh. And I really is impressed with the technique in this image as well, with the black figure against a black backdrop. It's really well done. It makes us working as a scene as well in this black room, and he has really put it in this context of a scene and the magician and the audience, and I really think it's amazing.
Yeah, I like that the black really conveys that they're like on a stage.
Yeah,
just the posing of the figures too, that the magician looks really confident in the first picture, and that the woman is smiling and kind of excited, and then she looks absolutely panicked when she's in pieces, and he's got this really nervous expression. He's kind of looking down like he's reacting to what has happened. So I think the posing here too is really great.
But he isn't confident in the first image. He looks kind of worried and thinking, am I supposed to do this? And looking at the result, he shouldn't have.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I think there was one more we wanted to bring up. Was a G+ submission, once again from Demarcation Media. He submitted a few photos, but the one that we really wanted to talk about was this Grindelwald versus Gandalf photo. Yeah, this one I really like. It's Grindelwald facing off with Gandalf, which is a fun mashup between, you know, Fantastic Beasts and Lord of the Rings. Not something I immediately thought of. It's funny, when I first saw this, I just saw Gandalf as Dumbledore, and then I had to remember, oh, no, wrong gray bearded wizard. But I like the, you know, how these two figures are facing off with each other, and the lighting that's on the wand and Gandalf's staff really conveys that they're throwing spells at each other. The posing of the two figures, you know, their arms are kind of outstretched and their legs, so it kind of looks like there's some movement happening here. I think this is a cool image. What do you guys think?
I can only agree, but I was a bit surprised, because I thought I would see another canvas with a magic spell, and it would appear image of some sort of magic situation. So I'm a bit disappointed that I lost the canvas, but I'm really amazed with this image. I would never have gotten that the figures is a mashup between two different stories. For me, they are magicians and they are kind of magical with his wands. And I love the posing, especially on the figure in black, the way he's walking towards the other one who's kind of determined. They have a different style and they come from different eras of magic and the way they use magic, and really well done in the posing of the figures.
Yeah, I agree. And I even love, like, the cape on Gandalf is kind of blowing back, so it looks like he's charging, you know, and his cape is billowing in the wind. I think that was a really cool touch. Luke, what do you think of this one?
I really, like you guys said, I really like that the it looks like they're in action, and the effects on the wand and on the staff are really cool. Like you said, the lighting is nice too.
If I wanted to change something, I would change the way where I put the figures. I wouldn't put them so close to the grass, because the grass is kind of messy in the image. I would put them more towards closer to the camera and have more background of the stone to work with, so the grass only becomes a bouquet in the background. It would have made it more easy to handle the background, because it's kind of messy with the grass.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And it kind of, that messiness kind of draws your eye away from the figures, which are the center point of the image, because I don't think we're really supposed to care about the background here. If there were more details in the background or something, I could see that. But yeah, bringing the figures more forward, adding some more shallow depth of field for the background to kind of blur away, and so that we can kind of focus just on the figures, I think would have improved the image.
Or maybe, maybe the other part as well. You could have done a lot of messy stuff in the foreground to make them just in this grass or in this situation struggling with that as well, dwelling as well. So it could have been two battles, one with the nature and one with the other magician. But this one makes it only messy.
I agree. And yeah, adding some more details might have added a little more context to the scene, a little more story elements, something like that. But as it is, I think it's a cool photo and a fun mashup.
Yeah, it is.
Do you guys want to jump into our images? Christina, I know that you like to go first, so whose do you want to talk about first, mine or Luke?
And let's start with our guest. We should start with Luke's, shouldn't we?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And I have the honor to start. Yeah, I'll go first then. I see a landscape-orientated image. The focus point is in the center of the image, and in the middle of the image is a figure, and he seems to be surprised. It's a plastic figure, and he has a face showing his teeth, and he seems really surprised. And in his hand he holds a hat, and in the other hand we can't say if he's holding the lobster or not, but he is kind of holding a lobster, and maybe he's screaming because he's getting bitten by the lobster. But in the background I see a curtain which is red, all red, like the lobster. I really love that detail, that the colouring of the lobster comes back in the backdrop. And in the foreground there is kind of a shallow depth of field, or I can see some sort of audience. So I see heads. I see different plastic heads of Lego figures in different colors. There are a brown haired figure on the left hand side, and it's a black haired figure, and another one, and some on the right hand side. So when I start to really read this image, I see it as a magician standing on a scene, and he's made this trick, and maybe he's supposed to do a trick where he do a magic trick, and out through the hat comes a bunny. But instead it comes a lobster. It seems to be a big surprise. Maybe it's a big surprise for him standing there. Maybe he's got, as I said, he's got bitten, so he's screaming. And I can't really read the audience what they feel or think around it. But I'm part of the audience, so I'm part of the audience looking at this magic show that is taking on this scene. It's a really well done image. The light comes from the left hand side, really like a stage light, like a spotlight, lighting the figure in the middle of the image as well. So it's so well done. And the story is easy and I can recognize myself. I really feel with this figure. I feel the terror that he has really, he hasn't got, the magic trick didn't work, or maybe he's really hurt. And I really feel with him. My sympathy is with him. On the other hand, I know the audience may not feel that. Maybe they're starting to get angry. Maybe this isn't the first mistake he's done during this evening. I can really see that this is a, I would love to see, I can, this is a great story, and I put it in a bigger context, and I, my imagination really starts wandering off, and I get this feeling of me sitting there looking at David Copperfield as this huge magician, and he's making mistake after mistake and just wanting the stage to open and he can fall down and never see the audience again. It's so well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, it really is. I love the framing of this image. The fact that the figure is in the middle makes me think that, you know, he is the center of attention, that he is, you know, the spotlight is literally on him. So I think that was really smart to put him right dead center because all eyes are on him. Everybody's drawing in, looking straight at him. You know, I think that was a really smart choice. I think it would have been easy to put him off to the side or something. But yeah, just dead center like that, I think is a great touch. And I love, yeah, the red of the lobster and the red of the curtain really makes me think of surprise or terror or something, you know, just the red is such a vibrant, violent color that it does just make me just go, you know, when I first see it. So I think that is a really good touch, too.
Thank you.
Luke, can you talk a little bit about how you captured this image and your thoughts behind it?
So I basically what I did is I took my iPad and I used that as the for the curtain. And
so you mean the curtain is an image?
It is. I just grabbed it off of the internet and set it behind the figures.
Amazing.
Yeah, it looks, I was wondering how you did the curtain, yeah. Because it looks like a real curtain behind there. Using a screen like that can be really jarring, like sometimes you can really tell, but you did a really great job because I couldn't tell at all, so that's awesome.
Give us more insights.
I was planning on using the rabbit, but I could not find a rabbit, so I was like, what else could I use? So I decided to use the first animal type piece that I saw, and I saw a lobster and kind of just found this scared expression on a Lego figure.
I think that's great that wasn't your plan originally, because it's great how inspiration can come from limitations. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. Well, I don't have that piece, so what can I do? So then you had to think outside the box, and then you ended up with this amazing story. Whereas I'm sure that the rabbit image would have been a really cool image, but it wouldn't have been the same. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think it's really great that having that limitation really pushed you to do something different. And I think it really, really worked here.
Yeah. And I think for me, the image makes the image even better is that it's an image of losing your face. And usually when people used to standing on stage lose their face, they never show. You can never tell because they are so amazingly good to hide it behind the screen face they have. And I love that fact in this image, because this is probably a really good magician, but he has totally lost it tonight.
Yeah, and it's worth mentioning too, Luke included a really good caption for this photo too on Instagram. Thomas Edison quote, this is, just because something doesn't do what you planned it to do doesn't mean it's useless. And I think that is really fitting for the story in the image. And then just as you said, the image didn't go as you planned with the rabbit, but that doesn't mean it didn't turn out to be a great image. So I think that's a really cool pairing between quote and image there. And yeah, good point, Christina, between the the showmanship that is generally in something like this. People are supposed to, you know, bounce back from a surprise like this and make it part of the show. But this guy is so surprised that he can't really hide it. So I think it makes it such a fun, funny situation.
And surprising, because, you know, you can't really put your finger up on it. But when you realize it, you have never seen a showman really lose his or her face. You realize this is the golden moment in this image. I really like that.
Yeah, and I love too that just the iconography between a magician pulling a rabbit out of his hat, like we understand without being shown, like we understand that that's what was supposed to happen here. But because it is just the fact that it's a lobster, we know, oh, it was supposed to be a rabbit and it's not. I just think that using that general consensus about something is really smart and turned out to be a wonderful image. So really, really great job, Luke. I love this one.
Do you work a lot with the humor, surprising your audience, trying to make them laugh? Is that part of the way you work with toy in toy photography?
I enjoy doing that, and I feel like it's easier to do that with Lego, but many times it's just like more of a serious thing, but I enjoy doing it a lot more when it's humor.
Yeah, really well done.
So who's next? What do we want to do? Do you guys want to
you know what I want to
talk about, mine or Christina's?
I never want to talk about mine.
We can do mine next. Luke, do you want to talk about mine first and tell us what you see?
Sure. I see a picture and landscape, and it appears that they are filming Harry Potter, and there's like a green screen. And I'm sorry, I don't really know much about Harry Potter, so I'm not sure
that's okay.
What this is, but it looks, I enjoy, or it's cool that you use the clear pieces to show that they are supposed to be moving through the air and that they are not actually doing it, but you're using movie magic, and it's really cool.
Cool, thank you. Christina, what do you think before I talk about mine?
Yeah, I can only agree with observation. I know about Harry Potter. I actually know something. I've read all the books and seen all the movies, and I'm so old, so I was a grown up when it came, so I shouldn't have read it, but I'm totally lost in the Harry Potter world. Yeah, it's his. There is a film crew. I have to say, I love the composition of this image. Working with this green screen in the middle, like two images in one. You have this movie image or the movie cutout. You can see that, and you can realize what the end result of the movie will be with Harry Potter flying, trying to catch the golden. I don't know what it is called in English. The snitch in the Quidditch game.
What is it called in Swedish?
I don't remember. See how much I'm too old. Anyway, and the crew, and then there is a second image with me looking at this crew, the setting up of this scenery with the people working and trying to get the actor to do what he's supposed to do, and you see all that the magic isn't working. You see the purpose of the green screen is to take these elements out of the way. It's really fun, and it's fun that you work with magic in two contexts, with a movie magic and the magic of Harry Potter, and that you put it in what do you call the mugglers? We are part of the mugglers. We don't have these magicians. That's part of the Harry Potter world. I love that aspect of Harry Potter, that there is some sort of people that are magical and they see a different world. But we, the ordinary people, we go around and we don't realize that magic is part of our world. And you kind of flips that and shows that for mugglers, we are in the muggler world. We're not in the Harry Potter world, and I really love that.
Yeah, thank you both. I'm glad that the movie magic thing came through, because that was when we picked this magic theme, I thought, well, I've got to do some kind of Harry Potter thing. If anybody listened to the Harry Potter minifigure review episode, you know how much I love Harry Potter. Harry Potter is a huge part of my life, so when we brought up magic, I was like, well, of course, especially with the new minifigures. But then that my ideas kind of stopped there. I wasn't sure what to do once I picked that, or what to capture. And so thinking of magic, I thought, okay, how does magic appeal to me, not from like a typical fantastical magic, like witches and wizards and magicians and stuff, but what does that word mean to me as far as art goes and photography? And I actually have a video background. I did a lot of video editing and short film making and stuff like that back in the day when I was Luke's age, back when I was a young person. And so I thought, okay, movie magic is something I've always loved. Movies mean a lot to me, and I really, really, really love behind-the-scenes stuff. I read behind-the-scenes books. I listen to commentaries. I look at behind-the-scenes photos and stuff. So I thought, okay, let's capture movie magic, but using Harry Potter as my focus and playing around with that whole, like, okay, magic isn't real, but we can create magic using photography and video and movie making. So how can I capture that in my photo? So yeah, playing with those layers of the magical world of Harry Potter and then the magical world of movie making, and then on top of that, the magical world of photography, and just kind of capturing all three of those layers. So I'm glad that came through, and this was a lot of fun for me to put together, and I'm glad that you guys liked it.
Yeah, I really liked it. I'm not sure, maybe you tried that, I have to ask. Did you try to put those the sticks out of the image, trying just making the magic work and have the green screen and let us realize that there is some sort of stick? Did you try that one?
I didn't actually. I wanted to leave all of the sticks and everything in the image. In fact, I kind of wish I could even like zoom out more and show more lighting and the craft service crew in the background and extras on the side. You know, I wanted to capture like a whole movie set, because movie sets are just really magical places. I've been on a couple movie sets before, and they're really fun just to see all of the things at work and all the tape on the ground and the wires and everything plugged in and the actors and all that stuff. So I kind of wish I had been able to capture even more.
You wanted it to be even
Yeah, so I wanted it to be representation of a actual movie set, and so that's why I left the sticks in, to show that, you know, this isn't actually magic happening. We're creating the magic ourselves using special effects and using props and things like that.
I think it's really nice. It's such a beautiful image.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you so much. Luke, do you have anything else to say before we move on?
I was just going to agree with you guys. I like how you left the sticks in there to show that it's not real, that they're just making it up. It's make-believe. And there has to be some type, like in movies, there's some type of editing. And like you said, it's really cool that it's like behind the scenes. Instead of just showing us the green screen, you're showing us what seems to be the director and the camera guy. I think that's really awesome.
Cool. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Okay, final moment here, Christina.
I can't hide anymore.
Oh, no. I'm really excited to talk about this one, actually, so I'll take the first shot. Like always, you know, we get these images, we send them to each other the morning of, and I got this a couple hours ago, and like every single month when we do this, I thought, oh, wow. You know, I really, really love this image. You did a fantastic job. And it makes me think of a lot of things and have a lot of questions, so I'm excited to talk to you about it.
Yeah.
So what I see is a landscape-oriented image. What I really like is that there's a lot of negative space here with a lot going on. You've got a beautiful scene here. It looks like it's in a puddle or something, of two stormtroopers. One of them is a action figure stormtrooper, and the other one is a little Lego stormtrooper. And the action figure stormtrooper is standing, but he's kind of kneeling down, and he's holding a little Lego frog, a green frog, and holding it down to the smaller stormtrooper, who's wearing wings and has a magician's wand. And so it looks like the bigger stormtrooper is kind of like presenting the smaller one with this frog, which immediately makes me think of, you know, fairy tales and kissing a frog. And is this little stormtrooper a princess, and the bigger stormtrooper is like a parent or something, and giving the frog to the smaller princess one? Or is this like a fairy godmother stormtrooper? You know, it makes me think of all of those fairy tale tropes, and I love that. And I love too the little addition of behind the big stormtrooper, there are a few little leaves and a golden frog. So it makes me think, like, ooh, is that other frog part of the scene too? Or is the big stormtrooper hiding the smaller frog from the other one? Like, what is the purpose there of multiples? And that frog is golden, so what does that mean symbolically? I love all that stuff going on. And then on top of that, you've got these beautiful reflections coming up in the puddle of these two stormtroopers and the whole scene. And it ties together all the negative space, but makes it just such a beautiful image to look at. I'm very curious about your story purpose here and what you're going for, or if I'm completely off base with the fairy tale thing. Before we get your interpretation, Luke, do you want to talk about what you see in this image?
Sure. I really like it that you set it in a puddle, because I'm sure it would have been really easy to just set it on like grass or maybe stone, but since you set it like in a puddle, the reflections and the lighting is just really awesome and a nice picture to look at because of it.
Yeah, I love the light bouncing off of the whole image. You've got this great bokeh in the background and in the reflections, and it just kind of envelops the whole image. It's kind of like a frame around the picture itself, of just like a frame of light that's just surrounding this image, and the way that the reflection really blends perfectly with the subjects makes them almost kind of look like they're flying or floating or something. Like it is just a really magical setting, even if it is just like a puddle or something. It looks really magical and inviting and beautiful. So you did an amazing job capturing this, Christina.
Thank you. As I told you before, I was really hesitating. What should I do about this? And I was thinking of Harry Potter and thinking about wands, and I was thinking about doing a magician with a high hat and a bunny, and I thought, where can I find that? I don't have one. And I had almost decided beforehand I shouldn't do any fairy tales, I shouldn't do any frogs, but I ended up doing fairy tales and frogs. So
I love it. I love that you did that.
Yeah, it's so typical of me. And I realized,
if there's ever a time to do it, it's for the magic theme, right?
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah. And so I started off in the kitchen table and setting this scene up, and I realized I wanted to be, I don't want it to be, you have to see, it could be different, two different stories as I see it. It could be the big stormtrooper wanting seeing the small stormtrooper as a fairy godmother that can make the frog to a princess for him, so he can get this amazing partner that he can live all his lives with or whatever. So maybe he's asking the small stormtrooper to use the wand to make this frog his princess again. Or maybe it's the other way around. The big stormtrooper has found this frog and he wants the little stormtrooper that he sees as a prince to kiss it, to actually see if there is a princess behind the frog. And I put the other frog in behind the biggest stormtrooper to make it see, look at that, make it, there is another one. So if this isn't a princess, you can kiss the next one. And maybe she is the princess that you're supposed to love and cherish for the rest of your life. And it started with me thinking that the big stormtrooper wanted to give the frog to the smaller one, and he hesitate. He's kind of backing off. He doesn't want to kiss the frog. So I started with that.
Yeah, I love the posing.
Yeah,
there.
He's kind of shrugging, and he doesn't want to look at the frog, and he doesn't want to have it even closer. But I wanted to be the duality, so I put the wand in his hand as well, so he could be the magician. So maybe he is the one making these frogs to whatever it is. You can't really say. Then I wanted the pond or the puddle, because many of the stories where you have these frogs, they come through a well or a pond. They find the frog close to water. So I really wanted the setting to be around water. So this isn't a parking lot, of course. I also decided to try a new technique, because I usually go really, really close when I do my images. So I don't get this big negative space. So I did a panorama, actually. I took three images of the same scenery and put them together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that makes the image even, it isn't the ordinary size, but it is actually three images put together.
So that's really smart. Where were the three images, like which parts of this were different images? Because it looks so seamless
to
me. Yeah,
it is. it is. I took it.
Did you go like up and down or side to side?
Side to side. I put it in portrait mode. The camera is taken the scenery in portrait mode, and I have taken three images of the same scenery. So I started with the frog and the back of the big stormtrooper, and the small and the bigger stormtrooper, and a bit of the pond to the right of the stormtrooper. And I did one in landscape as well. So I have another version of this image that is really, really long. You can really see it's a panorama, and where you can see the whole puddle. But I went for this because I really love the way it framed the subject in the puddle. They got it so well framed.
I think that's brilliant. That makes me, you know, wish that I had done that for, like I was saying, my image, how I wanted to have more going on in the background. I thought, well, I'm going to have to step so far back from my photo table and add all this stuff, and my depth of field will be all messed up. And would have never occurred to me to do a panoramic like that. I think that's a really, really cool idea and something I'll have to try in the future.
Yeah, it's fun, and it's I have done different ways of doing panoramas. I did one for the podcast. You maybe remember when I put the Death Star in the middle, and I had Leia on one side and Darth Vader, but I didn't put it together. I like those as well, when you don't have the image perfectly matching one another, it becomes a diptych. But this one, I really wanted to be seamless, so you couldn't really see it, but I get the scenery more in. So a tripod is good to have with you.
Yeah, I think this is brilliant, and I love that it's just in a parking lot. I think that that's one of the beautiful things about photography, and especially toy photography, is that we really can shoot anywhere. Whether it's outside in a parking lot or as Luke did in front of his iPod to get a background. I think that just the versatility there is really fun to play with. And I love that we all were working with the same theme, but came up with three completely different interpretations and scenarios. And, you know, both of your images are things that I didn't think of at all as far as like magicians or fairy tales. You know, I was dealing with something more realistic, quote unquote, but I love that the three of us came up with different things. I think that's really fun.
But I think that there's a common part in all three images as well. We have all been playing around with the fun part of it. We are kind of joking around magic in some sense. Luke with his lobster, you with the green screen and all the sticks, and me with a fairy tale and the frogs in the queue of frogs waiting to get kissed or maybe get the spell.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I am so happy with this month's theme. I think we all came away with really great images, and this was a super fun discussion. Luke, do you have anything to add before we wrap up here?
No, I think you guys kind of covered it all.
I really have one question, because now you're on the podcast, Luke, and I have to ask, how did it come that you decided to take part in these challenges or do images for the podcast? What made you do that? Why did you join us? Because I'm so happy that you did, and I'm so amazed with your work. But why what made you do it from the beginning?
I think it's just that when people give me ideas of something to take pictures of, or even like just a theme, then it's like easier to take pictures or have it in my mind what I'm gonna do. And not to mention, it's like it's a lot of fun to participate. So
cool, I think that's great. Yeah, I do the same thing with prompts. You know, having a prompt to really kind of guide your ideas and give yourself a framework to work within, I think can be really, really helpful. So and that's what we're going for here on the show. So I'm glad that it seems to be working for you. And yeah, like Christina said, we love seeing your submissions each and every month. Every time you tag us, I'm like, oh, yes, he did another one. You know. So.
Yes. And it was really nice to have you on here. I'm so impressed with you, with your work and with your articulate and how you look at images. It has been so fun to have you with us.
Thank you. It's been a lot of fun to participate.
Good. I'm glad it was fun for you. And, you know, maybe someday in the future, we could have you back on the show to talk more. But thank you so much for coming on this month to talk to us. And good job with everything you're doing. And I can't wait to see what you do next.
Yeah. What's the next theme? So we know what we are supposed to see from Luke next month.
Yeah. Our next theme, I felt kind of bad for Christina on this one, because this image did it so well already. You could just submit this one next time.
Yeah,
Christina.
I can do that. It's the second time.
Yeah. Cause our next theme is reflections. So, this one, I think we'll just talk about the same thing. Cause this is a perfect reflection photo.
Yeah. But when I think of reflection, I think of this, image that what you talked about him in beforehand when we talked him. Oh, what is his name? He makes these amazing bonsai trees in Lego.
Chris
McRae.
Yeah,
Chris McRae. He has done this amazing image of a Lego figure looking down in the pond and seeing. I don't know if he has a pajamas on the image, in the. Before, off the reflection or in the reflection, I don't remember, but it's amazing. I always think of that one when I think of reflections.
Yeah, I know the exact image you're talking about. I'll include it on the blog so people can see too, but it's one where...
It's kind of Pinocchio, it is. It's a Pinocchio image. It's like this wooden boy that has this idea of that he will be a real boy someday. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It's a robot with a teddy bear standing on this little bridge looking down into a pond. And yeah, it's a real boy in the image holding a teddy bear. And that's one of my favorite Lego photos ever. And definitely one I think of with reflections. Yeah. So I think this will be a really fun theme for us to tackle. Luke, I hope that you submit again next month, and I can't wait to see what you take too. Do you have any ideas that jump out at you right away when you think of reflections?
No.
I'm sure you will get an amazing image of it, out of it, Luke. I won't be surprised.
Well, cool. Thank you both again so much for being here and doing this podcast with me this time. This was a really fun episode. I'm surprised that we still kept it within like that hour, even with three of us bouncing back and forth. I guess that it was just a lively conversation. So thank you both for doing this, and good luck coming up with reflection photos.
Thank you, James. See you in a month.
Thank you so much for listening. You can find new episodes of this podcast and daily articles on creativity and toy photography on our website, toyphotographers.com. You can also subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. We also ask that you please leave us a 5-star review. That'll help spread the word about the show and help us get noticed. You can find us on Facebook at Toy Photographers and on Instagram at _toyphotographers_. Music for this week's episode is by Jazar, courtesy of freemusicarchive.org. And finally, you can reach out to us with comments, concerns, recommendations, etc. at toyphotographypod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. I'll see you guys next time.